Hey everybody, it's Emily, and welcome to an episode of my forensics podcast called Case Studies with Emily. This week we're going to be diving into a really interesting case. I hope y'all are as excited as I am, so if you're interested, keep listening. All right, so let's dive into this really cool case. So hopefully you've heard of this. This is the case of Jeffrey McDonald. So on February 17th of 1970, Dr. Jeffrey McDonald, a U.S. Army captain, summoned military police to his home in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Upon arriving at the scene, MPs discovered McDonald lying next to his wife, Colette, on his bedroom floor. All he was wearing were blue pajama bottoms, but it was taken note that the matching shirt was laying across his wife's chest, who was brutally and repeatedly stabbed to death. McDonald claimed that strangers, including three males and a woman wearing a floppy hat, had broken in, attacked him, and slaughtered his pregnant wife and two daughters. He described the crime in such a way that oddly resembled the Manson family case in California. On April 6, 1970, McDonald underwent an extensive interrogation by CID and investigators, who then concluded that McDonald's injuries were superficial and self-inflicted. They believed that his story was about intruders was a fabrication created as a cover-up, and that McDonald himself was responsible for the murders. This led to his formal charges from the U.S. Army on May 1, 1970. However, 5 months later, Colonel Warren Rock, who is the presiding officer of our Article 32 hearing, recommended that the charges against McDonald be dropped due to insufficient evidence. McDonald's civilian defense attorney Bernard L. Siegel had argued that CID botched their jobs at the crime scene, leading to the loss or compromising of evidence. Siegel also claimed he had found the woman in the floppy hat, oh my goodness, Helena Stokely, and other witnesses whose witness testimonies proved involvement in the murders. After 5 months, McDonald was released and received an honorable discharge in December. By 1971, in July, he was in Long Beach working at St. Mary Medical Center. However, this was not the end of the case. Later, Freddie Kassab, which is his father-in-law, and CID investigators returned to the scene in an attempt to relive the events of the killings McDonald described. They ended up realizing the account was totally implausible. The following April, the Kassabs filed a citizen's complaint on their former son-in-law. During the trial, McDonald waived his rights as the first witness. He then indicted on first-degree murder charges, where he had one second degree charge on his wife and on his second daughter, and a first degree charge on his first daughter. The trial first opened July 16, 1979. The prosecution called an FBI lab technician who testified physical evidence from the stabbings contradicted what McDonald explained. Following on August 26, McDonald was convicted of the murder charges. The following July, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals panel overturned his conviction due to a conviction of his Sixth Amendment rights not being present. So he was later released on a $100,000 bail and returned as the head of emergency medicine at the Long Beach Medical Center. And still to this day, McDonald maintains his innocence every time he is appealed. So sorry about me tripping over my own words. So who all is involved in this case? Obviously, we have the suspect who hasn't been declared, he's officially technically innocent until proven guilty given the justice system, but something's still kind of off. But Jeffrey McDonald, and then we have the suspects that he indicates, the three strangers and the hippie girl with the floppy hat, aka Helena Stokely. The victims were his daughters Kimberly and Kristen, along with his wife Colette, who was also pregnant. Mildred and Freddie Kassab were the parents of Colette and parents-in-law of Jeffrey. And then Colonel Warren Rock was the officer over the Article 32 hearing, and Kenneth Mika was the first MP on the scene.
This was taking place in Fort Bragg, North Carolina in the 1970s. So forensic evidence is actually the most important part, I think, of this case. So blue pajamas were a big thing. So Jeffrey was wearing them, but they noticed that the top was missing. They found it on Colette's body. What was cool about this is there are 48 holes and 21 wounds matched like the wounds in Colette's chest. So people are saying that Jeffrey stabbed Colette with the top of his pajamas on her chest, whereas he's saying that he used it to stop the bleeding from the other people coming in and attacking them. There was also the word pig on the headboard written in blood. There obviously were the bodies and the knife wounds, and there was also suspiciously a magazine article of the Manson family murders, which is what everyone says this case resembles, which it does. There also were fibers from McDonald's pajamas everywhere except where he claims he was attacked, which was the living room. As far as how he became a suspect, people didn't believe, investigators didn't believe that his story lined up, and obviously with the evidence, it really doesn't, but he had shown no means or motive or opportunity. So outcome is he was released on bail and has maintained innocence every time since he has been appealed. This next part is totally opinion-based, so if you don't agree with me, no big deal, but I think this case is famous because of how, odd it lines up. It seems like a copycat case, and obviously it's tragic. So, honestly, it's just suspicious altogether. And then the fact that he had such a high reputation, especially being a doctor in the army, he was actually a Green Beret, which is pretty impressive. But I don't see how someone could, with that high of a status, risk everything on murdering people that they loved, especially considering Colette was pregnant. That seems really odd. But I just think that hole is twisted. It's all twisted in my brain. So I guess this really just proves that not everyone is who they seem. Of course, we haven't really found out that McDonald is guilty or not. And actually, since then, he has remarried and started over. And I also do find it interesting that he still has such a high status with all of these allegations against him. He's still pretty well known and a really good doctor. But that's a story for another time. Honestly, if you've listened to my previous case episode on O.J. Simpson, there's some cool correlation things that tie these two cases together. So I think that's pretty cool. All right, so this has been this week's episode on Jeffrey McDonald. I hope everyone has enjoyed. So I know some of my faithful listeners, I know you're listening, that my cases haven't really been uploaded recently, and that's because I had fall break for school, and then I'm actually switching to every Friday due to a new school schedule. So I will see you guys, or you can hear from me next Friday, and I hope to have you listening. I'm such a dork. All right, well, thanks for tuning in on this week's episode. I hope to have y'all next week. Bye.